Months later, here comes a lawyer. You used these photos of my client, and you owe us $400,000. Oh, yeah, but this is typical. We get this all the time. You know, when you're running a news operation, these ambulance chasers try to shake you down. So my philosophy is like, oh, okay. Well, like, why are you telling me about it? If I owe you $400,000, go to federal court and sue me for $400,000. And then we'll address it. I'm not, you know, it's not going to be any settlement with these people, right? Mm-hmm. So they send us. This goes on for months. They keep saying, this is your last warning. And then there's like four more warnings. You know what I mean? So much for last warning. So they send us a mock-up of the federal lawsuit that they're going to file against us. Because we used three of this guy's photos, and he was on the island, right? The client that they wouldn't name. And we used his photos. And he wasn't compensated. So he wants $400,000, like, I don't know what it was, $135,000 a photo or some shit like that.
Mm-hmm.
So they send us a mock-up of the lawsuit they're going to file against us in federal court. So then I say, okay, now we got something going. So I spend a day. People say, what do you do with your day? Well, this is kind of stuff. I said, okay, motherfuckers, you want to play? Now it's time to play. And within about 2 hours, we had figured out who the client was, because they won't tell you who the client is. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So then I finally contacted the law firm. I said, oh, we're doing a story on your client. He's a big Wall Street guy, on why he was hanging out all the time on Epstein Island. And it's like, what? Yeah, well, you wanted $400,000 from us, so we figure we're going to get some mileage out of it. We're going to expose your client. What's he doing on Epstein Island? I mean, he works for one of the biggest finance and banks on Wall Street. I used to work at Citi. I know a lot of people he knows. Oh, you know, we can make this go away. I said, no. We're planning on doing this. If you know, and I said, you can proceed with your lawsuit, but never heard from them. About them, anything, not a crumb again.
Awesome.
You see, it's all fun and games until
right.
They get exposed, terrified. They're terrified, right? And this guy, this lawyer told me, well, you know, he told us in the letter, you're not the only media organization, and we have secured settlements with others. And I'm like, you're not getting a settlement from us.
Right.
So they shake people down. But then when they are threatened to be exposed, oh, my God, a run for the hills. And that's, you know, you want to talk about low-hanging fruit. That guy's real low-hanging fruit compared to the names that have been on that island. And not even on the island. It could be in New York or in New Mexico or Palm Beach, right? But
I really don't think, this guy, okay. You could have did a nice article on him and could have been embarrassing for him for a while. But some of these people don't seem, it doesn't stay in the news long enough. I mean, look at the president of the United States' son. Every story that comes out of that family is embarrassing, and they just keep walking around like peacocks. Like, no one knows. And I do believe a lot of those people that have been on the plane and on the island, they don't have any fear of being exposed. Because even if something drips out, oh, that's a rumor. You know, it's hearsay. Even if everyone in a court of law was named, they all hold secrets on each other. So I really don't think they're that. If they were afraid, they wouldn't have gone. They wouldn't have gotten on the plane.
Absolutely right. They already had assurances that there would be no repercussions whatsoever. None. None from the Justice Department, none from the media. I mean, look, the media knows. I mean, they were smart enough to track this guy down who was there, and they got exclusive photos. So what, you don't think they know other people that were on the island?
Right.
But I mean,
oh, no. You know,
Murdoch owns the New York Post. He's only going to take it so far. Wasn't he flying on that plane too? I mean, there's all kind of people. I don't know if he was on the plane or not, or what his relationship is with Epstein, but I think I've seen photos with him and Ghislaine Maxwell, many photos. So,
oh yeah, Yeah.
And he was friends with Robert Maxwell.
People did not run away from Epstein. In fact, even after, I believe, what happened down in Florida and he served his little bit of time. When he came out of that, I think Reid Hoffman had hosted a dinner and MIT had vetted and cleared him. Because remember, he was also heavily involved with donating to the sciences, especially artificial intelligence and such. So he was rubbing elbows at all these dinners with Reid Hoffman or Elon Musk, I think maybe Peter Thiel was there. It was some dinner in 2015. So even though he was convicted down in South Florida, people were not running away from him. They were accepting his money just fine.
Yeah, no doubt. And I remember that Murdoch's phone numbers, Rupert Murdoch's phone numbers popped up in the first Epstein Black Book. So,
mm-hmm. Oh, God. Yeah, no, there were lots of names that popped up in that book. And again, we don't know, you know, who was in control of that book. And, you know, you could write almost anybody's name in the book. So was every single person that we've seen their name recorded there? Well, we don't know. But we're never going to know because there's never going to be any. Look, we just went through Ghislaine Maxwell. All we have are drawings of her. No one's seen
her. Yeah, there's drawings of her.
Drawings of her. And, right. And I'm laughing because I'm looking at the drawing. And then you said she's how old?
I don't 59? Know.
59?
Is she 59?
Did you say she was 59? I think she's 59.
I'll look it up.
Yeah, well, whatever. She's 59. And in the drawings, you know, she clearly has, they draw her with dark hair. And I'm like, gee, I wonder if she's getting her hair done while she's in there.
She's 60 years old.
She's 60 years old, right. So guessing she's not sporting any gray hair yet. You would think she would be with being behind bars, if she's behind bars or they, you know, have some special arrangements for her. We don't know. This is a great mystery.
Well, you nailed it right there. You just don't. And see, that's my point. Why would you trust these people? Why would you trust them to say that she's locked up or she's in this place or she's in that place? Yeah. You don't know where she's going to be.
They can. I'm telling you, I've been saying it for years. We are participants on the Truman Show. We have no idea what's real. They you know. We don't have newscasters that are out on location, you know, whatever, CGI crap, green screen, deep fake, whatever they want to do to us, they can do to us. We don't know. Unless you're there in person to see something with your own two eyes. Hold on, I'm going to pull up. I tweeted it out this week because it was just so funny. Because what's in the news and, you know, some of the comments I read, I really just have to laugh. And it always reminds me of a quote that Dustin had said years ago. And so I retweeted it and it says, if you cannot make the people believe you 100% of the time, make the people disbelieve you 100% of the time. And in the end, they will be so disillusioned and disheartened that they will willingly accept defeat and will surrender or retreat. And that's basically the game that is being played against us daily for years. We are at the point where you can't believe anything because everybody's a liar. Listening to this J6 hearing, you'll look at the comments and right away, everyone on MAGA's side, everyone that has testified so far in deposition, everyone is a liar. Everyone has perjured themselves. Have they?
I mean, then why did you, you know, it's amazing. How did you support these guys through the years then? If they're all crumb bums.
Right.
You know what I mean?
But we see how the game is played. So if you put someone on the right on the stand and they're saying something against the right, well, now the left falls in love with them overnight. And the same thing on the right. If someone on the left that they've hated for years says one thing that they could agree with, oh, you know, that person is not lying. So to watch this from the outside, it is comical. And again, I do not watch the news, but I do will catch something if I'm passing by or something. And briefly, I heard Judge Dineen on the Five losing her mind over Cassidy Hutchinson's testimony. And everything Dineen was saying to prove her point was hearsay. Sources told her. So, okay, you're saying she's lying based on hearsay. And you're saying what she's saying was hearsay, except she testified under oath. So did she perjure her? Did every single person that has testified thus far perjure themselves? I don't know the odds on that. I think they're pretty slim that everybody is lying. But that's what everybody wants to believe. So I think of Dustin's quote whenever I see things like this, because that's how bad it is. That even if someone is telling the truth, it will not be believed. Because people don't want to believe it.
Well, I agree with you 100%. You nailed it. And the problem here is, one of the problems, is that when you license corruption based on your political ideologies, and it's okay for your side to cheat, it's okay for your side to steal, it's okay for your side to lie, then you're always going to have this because of, oh, well, they're on our side. And see, so when, I mean, the right does it too. If somebody on the left, like Bill Maher, starts saying things to people on the right, like, then Bill Maher becomes like the cause celeb of the right. And it's like, wait a second, you hated this guy for years. And all of a sudden you like him because he said, boy, that was easy. You know who's the master of this? Is, what's that dope's name? Lindsey Graham.
Oh, yeah, Gangsta Graham.
Graham. He's the fucking master of playing people on the right.
And the memers did that. You know, every time they put the glasses and the cigar on Barr and Graham.
Yeah, it's like a joke.
Sessions. And and they turn Trump into a superhero. And that is how easy it is to have people just think these people are wonderful. And, you know, it's hard to watch because you stand back. It's like just a car wreck that you can't turn away from. And you laugh and say, you know, I believe we've said this 2 years ago and plus, that they are normal. They have been on the fast track to normalizing everything, any level of corruption. And now they're on the road to, with this trans crap, and they're on the road to normalizing pedophilia, which ties into trafficking. Because at some point, everybody just turns their head to it and says, well, there's nothing I can do about it. I don't have any power. I can't go down to the border and stop what's going on. And that is true. That is true. And many people have fought throughout the years against the immigration issue and the smuggling and the stash houses. And it just keeps happening. Just like the hypocrisy of wanting to vaccinate a population for public health while you're pouring fentanyl into the same country.
70% off. That gets my attention. A quick anecdote here. I was on the road about a week and a half ago, and I was sorting out what's happening in some farmland in Pennsylvania and speaking to some farmers and some of the plights that they are facing, et cetera. So I was in a remote area and I was in this dingy truck stop. I won't name it, but it was a little bit of, you would call it a shady place. And I'm sitting there and they have a scant Wi-Fi. But they did have some Wi-Fi, and I said, you know what? I don't even trust the coffee in this place, let alone the Wi-Fi. So let me dial up my IP Vanish account here on my good old cell phone. At least I know there's not prying eyes in the back in the back of the truck stop or anywhere else. And so we've used IPVanish a number of times to bail us out of some sticky wickets, I guess you could call it, as we traveled across the United States and the pain caravan across the country. Tired of feeling like someone's always watching you on the internet. Maybe advertisers know a bit too much about you, or you're concerned about the privacy of your identity. Using incognito mode won't solve the problem either. IPVanish VPN is here to protect your right to privacy and help you stay anonymous online. IPVanish helps you safely browse the internet without exposing your private details to third parties such as hackers, your ISP, or advertisers. You can use IPVanish on your computers, tablets, phones, even devices like your Fire Stick and when you're streaming media. When you use IPVanish, all of your data is encrypted. This means that your private details, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be completely shielded from falling into the wrong hands. Even your physical location will be hidden. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. It's that simple. And you can use IPVanish or unlimited uses on unlimited devices without sacrificing on speed. Your computers, tablets, phones, even devices like your Fire Stick. IPVanish is offering an incredible 70% off their yearly plan for our listeners with a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's like getting 9 months for free for you folks who need a little help with the math. IPVanish is super easy to use. All you have to do is tap one button and you're instantly protected. You won't even know what's on. Stop sharing with the world everything you watch, everything you search for, and everything you buy. Take your privacy back today with the brand rated 4.6 out of 5 on Trustpilot. So go to IPVanish.com/pain, that's P-A-I-N-E, and use promotional code PAIN, all in caps, P-A-I-N-E, and claim your 70% savings. That's IPVanish.com/pain.
It doesn't even make sense. Not only the fentanyl, but we know about the rapes and the murders and the trafficking and all the horrors that come out of this, even not directly at the border, as they filter on up through the country. Many places are seeing crime that has never seen crime before.
Well, don't forget, you can't, I mean, another great point, but you can't even get a gauge on the amount of crime in the country because most law enforcement, we've reported on this, most law enforcement agencies are not reporting their statistics and their crime right. data to the FBI. So anything you see about crime spiking, people saying homicides are up 30-35%. No, they're not. They're only up 35% on the data that's been submitted. The data that right. hasn't been submitted, and the fact that this is one of the first times, this has never really happened before, that the data is being withheld. The fact that the data on those major crimes are being withheld, rape, murder, tells you that they're not going to show that these crimes are down.
Right, and they do manipulate the demographics of the criminals. That has been happening for years. And I check in on it on my local county police website because I can see live the arrests every day. And every Hispanic male that is or male or woman that is arrested is logged as white. So if you go to the demographics of my county, most crime is committed by white.
Yeah, I saw a couple of those you sent me, and then we started poking around in the local jail down there, the county jail. It's like, wait a minute.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You can, and I would bet
Alejandro Reyes.
Exactly.
Gomez, a last exactly. known address, Mexico, race, white.
White.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I'm sure he'd be upset knowing that more than anybody else.
It'd
be tough to get back to the tough to get back to the cartel if
well,
they
no,
know
maybe
you've
he
converted
liked
to
it.
Being
yeah,
a honky.
Yeah. Well, exactly. He's like, hey, I made it to America. I finally got that white privilege. So, no, I mean, we're seeing, I mean, it's been happening for years. And, you kind of forget about it. until something big does happen. And you go and look at the arrest report and you go, oh, there it is. They still not corrected this. But I would bet you it's happening all across the country. I don't think my county's doing anything special. I just don't know if everyone has access to their local live inmate search like I do.
Well, let me kind of change gears a little bit here. What I've been doing this week is right when I usually get things to a fever pitch and I start to get a little irritated at the news, I've been pulling back and saying, all right, well, I have all these other projects to like focus on, you know, personal projects for myself and my family of where we're going to be in the future, what we're going to do. And then I start working on these little projects and kind of getting away from the news. I mean, it's still in the back of my head, right? Because this is one of the reasons you're working on these projects is because of what's going on. But I found it very therapeutic in the sense that anything could happen. And, you know, the cell phone's ringing and the texts are coming, but I don't really look at them. I just kind of do what I need to do. And it's kind of nice to step away and focus on these little things and not be so caught up in everything that's happening and all the details then that are unfolding of the things that are happening, because, you know, it, in many cases I say this, although it is real, it's not really real. Does that make any sense? I don't know if it makes any sense. It's not, it's almost like you're watching General Hospital.
You want to tune in. Exactly. It's real, but it's everything that we have zero control over.
Right.
And all we do have control over is our own personal lives. That's it. And I mean, I think you would be surprised how many times a day I am not tuned into this because of all of the things I have to do. You're a couple households and shopping and a million things to do. And I kind of, you know, plug in a little bit at night and then I start finding what interests me. And then I kind of bookmark them for when we talk on Thursday night, or if something comes across that I really do want you to see, I'll just send it over to you, because maybe it shouldn't wait till we record. You know, it might be something I find on a Saturday or Sunday. You know, I send you some interesting things that are just too big to dive into. I mean, we just don't have the time. And I'll do that maybe in my spare time. I'll start like really digging into things, just like that latest Rolling Stone article. About, you know, more criminals being on the FBI. Yes, exactly. It falls into, you know, the base and all of these other stories. So, and I know it's not getting any coverage anywhere. It's like, you know, you stumble upon them and go, wow, this is not news. No one's talking about it. So many stories I come across are not in the news. Major things, too. They're just, maybe you'll see them in one or two publications, and that's it. You have to go back and dig. I'll go back now and find articles from 4 or 5 years ago that I read and go, oh my gosh, you know, it didn't get any traction back when it should have gotten traction. But you can connect the dots now with it and go, oh, that's interesting. Because remember, I told you, you know, it's all how you search things. Put a couple names in the search bar, time periods, and for what's happening now, you'll find some things that were out there, open source. After all, there's not much that we find that isn't open sourced. You can connect dots. But I'll do that at night. And sometimes I'm not in the mood to do that either. And I'm, you know, watching homestead shows or canning shows or whatever makes me want to turn the world off, and quite frankly more enjoyable.
I think a lot of people are doing that. They're refocusing on things, and I talked to a buddy of mine who was rocking and rolling, and you know, he's a federal contractor, and he's thinking about starting his own podcast and getting out of, and he could pull it off. I mean, he can tell a story, and he's got stories to tell. I think that matters out here. You know what's funny? How come guys like Bongino and all these guys, they never talk about what they did?
Right.
Why not? I think people are interested. Well, why don't you tell us what you did? Like, are you drawing from experience, or didn't you do anything? Or, I mean, you supposedly work for NYPD and Secret Service. Where are the stories? I want to hear some stories. People like stories. I'm not breaking chops, busting balls. Not really. I am a little bit. But, I mean, all these guys, right? Who's that dope who took over for, took some of the spots over from Rush?
Buck.
He's worked for the CIA. Where are the stories?
Mm-hmm.
Like, who are you? People, you're not there anymore. Or are you? See, that's
they're,
the thing.
Are you still there?
Are you still there? Are you still working for these people? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Their main role has been what talk radio has always been. It is to keep the people constantly outraged. They talk about the problems. They never talk about the real solutions. You'll never hear talk show radio hosts saying, don't go to that next rally. Don't go to that next town hall. Don't give your money to this Republican candidate. Don't give money to that Democrat. You'll never hear them say that, because they'll yell about the problem, but they won't tell you how to avoid them, challenge them. If you are going to stay in the political wheelhouse, they don't give them the real tools to fight them, which is humiliation in public. You know, answer the questions. What are you going to do? Like, I would show up with my own little syllabus of the Fourth Industrial Revolution, Agenda 20, all bullet points, nothing overwhelming, not a novel, but everyone should be armed with some sort of brief bullet points that you can say to these people. If you're elected, what are you going to do? What power do you think your little mind is telling you? Are you going to paint an S on your chest when you get to D.C.? You're going to have power? No, you're not. And you know that. And you know that. So no one wants to really fix it. Now, I spoke to someone last week who was really worried about their community and their state. And I said, listen, the only advice I could give at this point is you have to do it small scale, like underground. You have to start gathering groups of 20 some people, host a house party. Do not invite any influencers to speak, because you don't need them. They're useless and they're controlled opposition. All right. You need no internet. You need no bots, no trolls. You need a pamphlet laid out to hand out to the people who have never heard of Event 201 or Agenda 21 or Agenda. They've never heard of these things. You need to bullet point it, talk about it, pull things up on the internet while you're there to show them that these things are real. Then send them off to study for themselves. Now maybe they'll host a party and the next person will host a party, or maybe you'll all meet in a park. Do not invite the influencers. Do not post on Facebook. Do it the old-fashioned way. Get email lists, email addresses. That's the only thing I could offer you if you really want to educate the public on where this world is headed and what they're trying to hide from you. That's about all I have. That's the only power you have. And you start with the politicians at the bottom and see how educated they are in the fact that we are already 2+ years, okay? You know, Fourth Industrial Revolution was running in the background before March of 2020. So we're probably 5 years into it, I think. See what they know about that. And if they don't know anything about it, run like hell. Or try to recruit somebody that does.